If Reality Check Radio enriches your day and life, support us to keep bringing you the content, voices, perspectives, and dose of reality you won't get anywhere else. Visit www.realitycheck.radio/donate.
Colin Hirst is National Vice President of Federated Farmers. His policy responsibilities include essential freshwater regulations, water quality and quantity, biodiversity, and food safety. We've invited Colin on to RCR to discuss his concerns with the current National Policy Statement for Freshwater Management, NPS-FM. What will its impact on farmers be? Why central government needs to urgently force a pause on local council acting on the NPS-FM until new national policy direction is confirmed. Colin, welcome to RCR. Thanks for coming on this morning.
Yeah, hi, Paul. Yeah, it's great to be here.
Okay, now this NPS-FM, National Policy Statement for Freshwater Management, this is an overhang from the previous government, right?
That's right, Paul. Look, and we've had them in previous administrations too. So this is a body of work that Minister David Parker introduced, and he obviously consulted on it, and he came up with this quite a rigorous regime to tidy up freshwater across the country, and he would tout it as over a generation.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's basically the guts of it.
Okay, so new government now, and I think they're looking to kind of reinvent this fully over a period of time. Is that correct?
That's right. So they've been, new government just before Christmas indicated they're going to start introducing the work streams to introduce a new national policy statement on freshwater. And I'm pretty sure they're going to do that over a couple of years, the next couple of years, and then have a new one in 2 years' time, basically.
But the money keeps being spent, right? Is that what's going on?
Yeah, well, councils sort of haven't read the memo, I suppose. You know, there's a new administration, as in the new coalition government. They've got different priorities and aims and aspirations, and they've indicated we're going to have a new one. Councils, the part of the trick with this is, Paul, the National Policy Statement for Freshwater from 2020 said councils had to give effect to this almost straight away. You know, and start working on it and have their regional plans notified, and that's out for notification for the public by the end of this year, 2024. So government have also said to councils, you don't need to do this now. You've got another 3 years to get these regional plans out, notified and so forth. So there's two parts of this, Paul. Essentially, the rules and regulations is driven down from central government. This is centralisation of the powers, and it is devolved down to regional councils. So that's an overreach by central government. But it's also the money spent from our councils is just rocketing out there big time. And I was in the media just the other day with a story. It was I think it was the Farmers Weekly as well. Indicating the forecast rate increase in Canterbury was 24.2%. But it's actually worse than that. They're saying, the councillors that I've talked to are saying it's actually, they're spending 40% more this year. And wow. Because they're borrowing that other 15-odd% or 16%.
Oh, so borrowing more too.
Yeah. Right. So and it's because they're boxing on with a lot of this stuff, this planning stuff, because regional councils are saying the law still tells them to box on and do it.
What do you do when the law is an ass, to use that phrase? And surely the politicians know it's going to change. Then the
well, they
government.
Do. Well, you know, councils just need to read the memo. You know, we've got a new administration. No one's going to take them to court. Well, potentially they might, but
well, that would be reckless spending. That's a reckless waste of ratepayers' money, essentially, isn't it?
Oh yeah, exactly. Well, you know, we're facing a crisis with costs across the country. There's, you know, not only farmers, but the whole community is facing spiralling costs, especially rates, you know, and councils need to be responsible. I think we won't be marching in our tractors against the government? Were we marching in the streets with our tractors against the regional and district councils? Because they're, yeah. I think we need to, and the other thing, the point about, sorry, I'm off and on, Paul, but.
No, you're not.
I'm a bit passionate about this, but we've got to make sure we get the right councillors on board, because quite often we have an election and no one actually stands. There might be one person stands on a district council and they get voted on without any scrutiny. So we need to have proper, good, robust political debate on these regional and district councils.
So this caught my eye. I think it's a quote from you from the media. It's been estimated that for every dollar ECAN collects to spend on rivers, 60 cents is spent on consenting, compliance, monitoring and reporting, thanks to requirements imposed by central government and lobbying by NGOs. So that's just hooey hooey, no dooey dooey.
That's right. So it's the bureaucracy.
60 cents of every dollar.
Yeah. So we've had that by a reliable source. So this is all the nonsense that goes on. You know, looking for seagulls to make sure they're not destroying their nests and snails and all that sort of stuff. You know, sure there are.
But how come it costs so much for that sort of work? I mean, I could go out and do that as a volunteer.
Yeah, that'd be great. I was just visiting it was a construction site next to the railway just yesterday, actually. And the owner of the construction site, he it was because it was a railway, there was a man sitting in his truck, sitting there waiting for the train. And they knew the train was coming the time of the day. But he had to sit there making sure that no one was going to go across the railway line. That's how crazy this country's got into.
It's for everybody's well-being, Colin. Everybody's well-being, it's important. You know, people do crazy things these days.
Well, you know, I don't know where common sense has been chucked right out completely. I mean, where people just need to remember that, it's personal responsibility for your own well-being to a degree.
I'm a city lad. I don't get out into the country much, and I only kind of know from what I read. Is there a freshwater crisis? Actually, a crisis, like to the level of crisis?
A little bit. But look, farmers that I know, and most of the farmers, or just about all the farmers I know, are taking this very seriously. And we've picked up and ran with the making a better job on things. So we've fenced off our waterways. We've kept our stock out of the waterways. We're putting our plantings around the waterways to soak up some of the nutrients. We're a lot more careful about everything we do. So, and you'll see Country Calendar on a Sunday night. You know, we get some amazing stories from our farmers.
They're not going to cancel that, are they, as well?
I hope not. It's the best. I think it's the highest rating program on TV, isn't it?
Oh, well, yeah, Fair Go is pretty popular too.
Well, no, it was, wasn't it? Yeah. So look, farmers are picking up with this. We've had issues in Southland with our winter grazing, and there's been some shocking footage. But our farmers down there have picked up and ran with it, and just they're doing a whole lot better job, and they're trying their best. They're trying. It's probably the point.
The reason I ask that is because, you know, when we hear that 60 cents of every dollar goes into hooey hooey no dooey dooey, and rate increases of 24% are talked about, and they're keeping on working on this when they know that, you know, the clock is ticking for it to time out. It sounds like there's a kind of an industry, a tailwind behind this industry that doesn't want to give it up.
That's right. No, you're right.
Is that what you think?
Oh, definitely, definitely. I know there's some really good, so I was critical in my previous comments about councillors, but there are some really good ones there. But it's a bit of the management too, and it's a bit to do with the Local Government Act. It dictates, you know, sometimes I get a sense that management are in control, not the councillors.
We hear that on a lot of other issues, though, but to do with local bodies, that it's the officials that kind of run the show.
That's the sort of sense I get. There's some good officials there too, but they get, yeah.
Yeah, there's some kind of power imbalance, it seems.
Well, you'd think if you're the councillor, you get to decide stuff, you know.
Yeah, you'd vote on it and decide, right? Yeah.
So central government is the example. You have the government comes in, and we've just seen the new coalition government through urgency do all those things. There's 49 things they've done. you know, they just make the law and bang, it goes. But with a council, you can't sort of do that. You've got to go through a big convoluted process. You've got to consult, which is good. You need to do that. But and then if things are wrong, you've got to make changes. It's just as hard. So,
but the government could say, stop on all of this right now. Halt, nothing more. Yep. Stop, right?
Yeah, so that would be the sensible thing to do. The government says they could change, make the law to say councils need to stop doing regional plans and district plans and just say there's a new national policy statement coming. We don't want you to waste any money on the old one because we're going to have some new rules. And also the government have indicated they're going to have a new RMA, a new regime with RMA. So that, yeah. So we don't want to be working on the old system. We need to wait for the new one to get in place and then start. And it's not about us farmers kicking the can down the road, because there's a bit of that touted about there too. But no, farmers are really on board with making our improvements. And as I said earlier, we are trying our best, and there's a lot of things going on. And it's tough out there on our farmers. Certainly the sheep and beef sector, the sheep farmers are really hitting it hard. With the prices dropped quite considerably, costs are still up. The dairy industry's had a bit of a lift, but it's still pretty tough out there.
Yeah, the theme that seems to kind of reoccur, maybe it's just a perception thing, maybe it's not accurate, but there always now seems to be kind of, you know, weaponry pointed at farmers, the people who create the food. Now, common sense would tell you, you can't make it too awkward for the people who create the food. Otherwise, you know, there might not be so much food around. Is that how farmers feel?
Yeah, a little bit. It's they sort of we do surveys with our farmers, I suppose, and they the confidence is pretty low. It's actually lifted a little bit just recently. We did one just the other day, and I think it's on the back of a new administration, a new government. So hopefully they're that's sort of flowing through, but it's. I think the interest rates are probably the biggest thing that's affecting us. You know, yep. When it goes from it was 3% and 6%, and I think some places up near 9%. So, for example, when it goes from 3 to 6, well, that's doubles the interest bill, which can be quite considerable when you've got expensive properties.
Well, again, politicians should realise, shouldn't they, that if you keep loading cost up on ratepayers, in this case, in areas where, you know, this work is going on, and the Prime Minister is describing our position as fragile, that was only about a month ago, that anything to keep costs off would be a priority, wouldn't it?
Oh, most definitely, definitely. You know, just to pick up on the food, but, you know, you're right, farmers, we feed New Zealanders, so we're really,
yeah,
really keen on feeding New Zealanders as opposed to exporting. But I mean, in our case, we're a cropping farmer, so we grow grains and seeds, so wheat, and, you know, that creates the flour to make the bread. So New Zealand still imports a lot of wheat, mainly from Australia. So I think there's a good opportunity for us to grow more domestic wheat to feed New Zealanders. So there's opportunities there. But the old message is a little bit that New Zealand grows enough food for 40 million people. So New Zealand won't go hungry, but if we get loaded all these extra costs and all these sorts of things, it makes our job more expensive, and that means tends to put up the price of food, I suppose, is that's the point.
And doesn't it also point to or push towards some sort of corporate farming environment more than the traditional?
It's hard to say. There has been a bit of a move with the dairy sector, with the corporate type of thing, but I think you get the best on a family farming situation. That's in our case. We have my mother still on the farm, and then I have my son as well. So it's a 3-generation sort of operation you have here. So I think that's kind of neat, and you get the real immersed in the operation. And your trouble is we do tend to work night and day and all weekend and everything.
Well, what does Mum do?
Well, she's yeah, well, my parents came here in the 60s, and then we've managed to buy the neighbours a bit, so that made room for me about 20-odd years ago. But she's my father passed away a couple of years ago, and she's still good to have her around. She's always wanted to know what we're up to and have any yarn to us. What's bossing us up a bit?
Another thing I wanted to ask you about, because I noticed this, and maybe it's nothing, but livestock on slopes of 25 degrees or more. Do you know anything about that?
I'm uncertain what that's about, Paul, but there is. Oh, that might be the Northland.
Yeah, it's in Northland, and I guess because runoff is, I don't know, generated more runoff, more angle. It's, I guess, physics, gravity, etc.
Yeah.
But that again, if that's the case, it limits the options, doesn't it?
Yes, well, of course, we've got our hill and high country farms, so they tend to don't be high stocking rates because it's just the nature of the country. So, yeah, that Northland one, I think the figures was 40% of the farmers may have to stop farming. I'm not sure what they do with the land. You know, maybe it's more trees, I'm not sure, but, you know, we've got a whole regime. You know, the service industries, you know, farmers, you know, sure, their costs are up, but they spend it on
that. But isn't this how you run people off the land?
Yeah, let's say.
So 25 degrees becomes 15, becomes 10, and then you've got to be flat, right? So.
Oh, look, I think that's a bit nuts, what's going on there. I think our farm, that slopey land, you can't have high stocking rates on anyway. So I think the risk is kind of blown out of proportion. It's. You know, we do have to be sensible about how we manage our landscapes with our stock, and you know, really intensive operations in there. Definitely don't condone that. But somewhere in the middle, I think it is, Paul.
Yeah. All right.
You know, that's probably where I see it playing out. So.
Okay. So anything we've missed here? We might have a politician or two listening to this. You never know, Colin. What is the message?
Well, just a message is to regional and district councils, just pause. You know, there's no direction from central government, then no one's going to take you to court. Just wait. And we don't want to send good money after bad, or bad money after good, and whatever way around you like to think about that. But it's and it's ratepayers' money that we're churning through. That and the whole community is facing these higher costs. So we just need to calm the farm, you'd say, and just chill out and just wait. Wait till we have a new regime. And it's not about us farmers kicking the can down the road, because I will call out any farmer that is having undertaking poor practice on their farm and trying to and ruin the environment. So
right.
I think there's an element of trust from the public that we're perhaps requesting. And so that's basically my message to New Zealand, really.
And your former president is now the Minister or Associate Minister of Agriculture, is that correct?
That's right. Yeah, Andrew Hoggard. He's I was just talking to him a couple of days ago, and we're going to have a catch-up with him, a formal meeting with him next week to talk about how we can talk about some of these things.
He knows all about this, obviously.
Oh, most definitely.
From his previous role, right?
Yeah. But when you become a politician, you get a bit more sensitive to all sorts of things. So
public opinion, the media.
and
screaming NGOs who want their money no matter what.
Yeah, it's interesting how the I'm not saying that Andrew has changed his tune, but he's certainly he's listening to all sorts of different opinions, I suppose you could
right.
say, as you should.
Yeah, I suppose you got to in that role. Yeah. All right, Colin Hurst, Vice President, Federated Farmers. Thanks for coming on and explaining all that.
Yep, no, it's great, Paul. Appreciate it. Cheers.
If Reality Check Radio enriches your day in life, support us to keep bringing you the content, voices, perspectives, and the dose of reality you won't get anywhere else. Visit www.realitycheck.radio/donate.